B-Pod Studios.
Or out of town, Boston's Home for Sports is on your phone. Listen live or download an original podcast. 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's an app.
Hello, boys and girls.
There were two things that I remember being
like must-see television.
Toucher and Rich on Twitch TV. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Will Brinson is a senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Brinson, hello, sir.
What's happening, guys? Good morning. Hope Tuesday is going well for you.
All right. So I'm seeing here in the various spots that people are asking. We know Buffalo's defense is very good, but people are asking, have they created a blueprint for slowing Tom Brady down? When you watch that game, is it just a case of Buffalo having a very, very good defense, or was it schematic in what you saw?
Yeah, there's a good blueprint for slowing Tom Brady down. Have a top five defense in the NFL. And and magically have, like, two of his top weapons get injured or leave the beep cut for being terrible people. I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, look, the Bills had the second-best defense in football last year behind only the Chicago Bears by DVOA. This is a team that has been a very good defense for a long time, and they added Ed Oliver this offseason. He's quietly putting up, you know, quietly being very productive. They have elite players all over that defense, and it should be no surprise that a Tom Brady team with a, you know, with a banged up offensive line and you know, a lack of, you know, true number one weapons right now, to be perfectly frank, struggled a little bit on offense. That game reeked of a rock fight from the get go. As soon as we saw it on the schedule, and to me, it wasn't a huge surprise the way it played out.
But at least they have a quarterback, that being the Patriots, unlike the Redskins, who the Patriots are going to be playing next week. And Scott Zolak and I were going back and forth on Twitter, and they haven't figured out who is going to be the starting quarterback. Like Gruden yesterday said, Jay Gruden said, I might not know till Friday who's going to start. And I believe that Zolak was like, well, it's got to be Colt McCoy. You got to start him. If they want to move the ball, they're going to do that. Do they want to win at this point? Because I know Jay Gruden's probably playing for his job, so he might want them to actually win. But they're so bad that shouldn't they be going, like, lottery diving at this point?
Unlike Miami, Washington's trying to win and can't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe they shouldn't be.
Yeah. Well, they have a quarterback that they took very high in the draft.
Well, the problem is you have, look, this is organizational dysfunction 101. You have one of the five worst owners in sports easily, and Dan Snyder, who stepped in during the draft and said, we're taking Dwayne Haskins at 15 because basically he went to high school with my son. And then you have a coach in Jay Gruden who's in a lame duck situation, and you have, you have differing agendas, right? The ownership and the front office is trying to please ownership. So Bruce Allen, who's somehow been there for 10 years, doesn't get canned. They want to play Dwayne Haskins to see what the kid's got. Jay Gruden is trying to save his job and knows that if he plays Dwayne Haskins, that won't happen. And he's basically flaunting it in ownership's face at this point. I mean, this is what he said yesterday. I don't care when you're drafted, you have to earn that. He's got to come in here and perform when he's asked to perform. And if I feel like he gives us the best chance to win against New England, I'll put him in. You're not just handed the keys because of where you're drafted. You got to earn that right. And he goes on and on and on. Look, he is basically saying, if I'm going to get fired for doing my job, I'm going to get fired on my terms. And so I would not be surprised at all. But like, playing Dwayne Haskins against the Patriots is a terrible idea. That line is currently Patriots minus 16. And I bet it would shoot up to 18 or 19 if Dwayne Haskins was indeed the starter. The Redskins, by the way, will likely be the first team in NFL history to be a 2-touchdown home underdog in 1 week and then a road favorite in the following week.
It's Miami.
Yeah.
Never happened before. They're a 2-touchdown home dog, and they will be a road favorite next week against Miami.
Oh, tell me you're not all in on that game. We were talking about it. Most times you would see these, you know, teams that obviously would be, you know, would have a win, you know, five games of the day. You'd be like, garbage game of the week. That's a game you want to watch, right?
Is it? I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to, like, politically correct. Like, I don't know, this might not be politically correct, but it's sort of like the, didn't they have, like, no, I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
Well done, Will.
Yeah, it is just bad. Because at that point too, and maybe they fire Gruden. Who knows by that point? Because I mean, he's on the hot seat almost more than any other coach I think in the NFL. But I mean, you would think at that point it's almost like both teams want to be bad. If you're both 0-5. There's no hope for you, and I would think that you would, this is the race to the lottery. And imagine two teams who want to lose going up against each other like this.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. I mean, I'm there to see it. Like, who's better at losing? I do wonder. Here's the problem with the Redskins too, is that not only are they dysfunctional in terms of the relationship between the coaching staff and the front office, but they have a young quarterback in Dwayne Haskins who, I mean, he was overmatched against the Giants defense, and the Giants defense is awful. He threw three interceptions, including a pick six. I mean, he was just completely overwhelmed after coming in the middle of the week, or the middle of the game, excuse me. And, you're talking about playing him on an extended basis in a 2019 season that is already lost, when your top receiver is Terry McLaurin, who is a rookie, who's injured. Your starting left tackle, Trent Williams, refuses to come back and play for the team because he doesn't trust the medical staff. And Brandon Scherff, your top, other top offensive lineman, is banged up as well. So playing him against the Giants made no sense, but it's clear that, if Case Keenum's not healthy and not playing well, that Jay Gruden's in a tough spot. It's a total disaster if you're Washington. Like, I would rather be the Miami Dolphins than the Washington Redskins right now.
All right. Well, Vontaze Burfict suspended for the season after spearing a guy in the head. I mean, it's obvious he hasn't learned his lesson, so Roger Goodell's going to try and teach it to him. What are the odds he gets this reduced on appeal, and what are the odds another team picks him up after this season?
Pretty good that he gets it reduced on appeal, I think. I mean, a 12 game suspension is pretty long, and it's almost like the NFL wanted to do this to send a message like, hey, listen, we're suspending you for the full season. And it sounds like they dropped the hammer on him, but he's going to come back and appeal it, and then it'll get reduced to 6 games or something. He's already got like $5 million in fines for his career, so this is nothing new for him. And I would say that, somebody – I don't know if anybody will grab him. I mean, there's probably somebody on the Marvin Lewis tree who will give him a try. Remember, Paul Gunther, the Raiders defensive coordinator, was there with Marvin Lewis. So there's a connection there. It made sense from that perspective. But at some point, you're just like, wouldn't your players get mad at you for signing this guy? I know he's a smart, intellectual football player. But he's just endangering other players' like well-being out there. And the idea that the NFL just keeps turning a blind eye and finally, after like 7 years of this, is willing to actually punish him and hit him with a legit discipline. I mean, it's sort of frustrating.
All right, Will, so can you kind of put in, just from the outside looking in, the perspective on kickers right now and just how bad they are in the league? Because after Gostkowski missed his fourth extra point of the season, I think he's only missed one field goal. I think he's 7 for 8, I believe. But, everyone's freaking out. And a guy who's usually a sure shot this season is just having a bad year. And I'm hearing all this talk about, hey, bring in another kicker, and, that'll challenge him. And I don't think kickers think that way. I believe if you got the yips, having another guy there isn't going to all of a sudden make you, like, kick straighter. But also they're saying, maybe you go look for somebody else. Can you kind of put in perspective just how tough it is to find a kicker right now, and sticking and whether or not you think sticking with Gostkowski is just the only way to go?
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers are using their punter as their kicker. So, or they did at least the first 3 weeks of the season. There's not a lot of options out there. You can't just go out and get a great kicker. I mean, Gostkowski's shanking these extra points, but he's still like 7 for 8 on field goals, right? The extra points thing is a problem. Maybe he just wanted to make sure that the bill's covered. I don't know.
Your boy Joe Murray was pissed about that yesterday.
It cost me a little money there.
I had the Bills in the under, so I didn't mind that. Look around the league. There's just not a lot of good kickers. There's a bunch of guys missing extra points. I think we sort of, Gostkowski's missed a lot of them. Like, he's missed 4 of them, I guess. So, I mean, that is a substantial number. But, I mean, Adam Vinatieri's missed 3. You just sort of see it. Like, and I don't think you can get, here's the other thing, too, is if you go out and get another kicker, are you going to have that other kicker, like, kick in games? Or is it just you bring him in for 1 week? Because you got to sign him and give a roster spot. And, yeah. I mean, that's not, Bill Belichick's not signing, like, he's not going to have 2 kickers. He's not, I mean, that would be the least Belichick thing of all time to pay a second kicker and waste a roster spot on a second kicker. So I think Patriots fans just need to understand he's going to ride it out. Kicking is a very, very the variance involved in kicking year to year is just incredibly high. And so to get caught up in the idea that Gostkowski has suddenly lost it is a bit silly to me.
All right. Well, listen, Will Brinson, you can read him there at CBSSports.com, and you also have a podcast.
I do, the Pick Six Podcast, daily show, 8 times a week now somehow. And we recap, we got a thrilling Bengals-Steelers recap, as well as some contender-pretender stuff up on the podcast feed right now.
All right, thank you, Mr. Brinson.
See you guys.
All right, there you go, Will Brinson. Yesterday, you guys talked to Kemba Walker.
Yes, and we learned a few things about him before I went in.
Ridge caught him off guard.
Yeah, his teammates didn't even know about, and we told about it, and they're planning on doing something about it. In Kemba Walker's history might be haunting him today.
All right, so we will hear all about that in just a moment.
Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
If I have a Sports Hub, it's Toucher Rich, and we are sitting with, some people call him Kemba Walker, but me, personally, I know him as the partner of DJ Ski from the Easy Pass mixtape. I've been bumping that thing in my car since, what, 2011?
Still?
Yeah, oh, still. Of course I am.
Stuff is timeless.
Now that you're Celtic, I've been bouncing even louder. So a lot of people don't know you have a little history with, like, making a mixtape together. How did that come about?
That was the year I was coming into the draft. I won the championship, so I was kind of on cloud nine. And my agency and DJ Ski, they kind of had a relationship, and they asked me. He asked, actually, if I wanted to be a part of it. So, I mean, I love music, so me and him, we came up. He asked me my favorite artists and things like that. So it was a pretty cool experience, yeah.
Do you still remember some of the lines from the song?
I don't.
Ah.
No. You are lying.
Do any of your teammates ever, like, once in a while you're about to go work out in the locker room and the weight room and they put on the music and it's...
Nah, you know what? None of my teammates actually ever brought that up, actually. I don't think a lot of people seen it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
it's
not
my
sure.
mission to bring it up to
you,
the rest
you
of the
You realize
people.
Now that you're on this radio station, more people will hear this.
Yeah.
And it is going to get caught. So when you signed, did you throw the whole UConn Butler thing in Brad's face, like, before you signed or after you signed?
He actually brought it up because I think he kind of felt like I was going to bring it up, so he brought it up before. But yeah, I'm laying it marinate a little bit. Throughout the course of the season, I'll get him.
So. Like, if there's ever some kind of, like, argument you guys get into, you can just throw that back and immediately win at that point.
Always.
That's always. Always. So this whole thing came together so quickly, at least for Celtics fans. When did you know that the Celtics wanted you, and how quickly was the decision that you made?
You know what? They actually came on pretty late, during the free agency process. I think I kind of knew kind of fast, actually. Yeah. It just was perfect. Like, it was just like the perfect fit. Spot was open, at my position. It's the Boston Celtics, all about winning, and that's what I want to be a part of.
Yeah.
I can't say it enough. That's just what I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of a winning culture, and this organization has that, so... It was kind of an easy decision, I think.
Now, was it Danny that spoke with you? He was kind of the one who was your point man as far as convincing you what it means to be a Celtic and that? Like, I mean,
I just knew. I just knew. And actually, I was actually out in Paris. Me and Jason, we were out in Paris. And once I kind of started to get the feeling of coming to Boston, and once I kind of knew that I wasn't gonna be returning to Charlotte, I need to kind of focus my mind on other teams. Mm-hmm. I got a chance to speak to Jay Tate, and we spoke for about an hour, just me and him. And he told me about the guys, told me about the coach, told me about the city, and I think he just got me excited about everything. And he kind of was a big impact on my decision as well.
What did he tell you about the fans here in Boston?
I already knew it wasn't much he had to say.
All right, so what are you trying to describe?
From my perspective,
yes,
the best. It's the best. It's loud. You don't have to worry about creating the energy by yourself. The fans create the energy in that building. And that's been every single time I've ever played here. And, for me, I've been very blessed to, always get a great standing ovation because I went to UConn. So I've never really been booed while I was here, playing against the Celtics, which is really a blessing because they boo everybody on other teams. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing in front of the Boston fans. I think that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
Well, I think they respect hard workers and kind of like the dirt dogs, people who, I mean, that's why everyone loves Marcus Smart. You know, Marcus Smart's one of those guys that, I mean, there is not a play that he isn't 100% on every single one. And I've always said that about, you know, it's whenever athletes aren't liked in this town, I'm just like, did they give 100%? And if they do, it's kind of an easy, you know, crew to – even if your talent's not there, which, of course, it is with you, if you give everything, you get that kind of blue-collar respect from here, you know?
Which is how it should be.
Yeah.
The fans don't have to worry about that because I'm giving 100%. So.
All right, so talk about the trip to China. Obviously, things didn't wind up the way you hoped it would, but more importantly for the fans here – they were hoping you would build chemistry with your three new teammates over there. How did that work?
Oh, it worked out. It worked out really well. We spent a lot of time together, and we definitely built some great camaraderie really early. It was really, really fun to, you know, be around those three dudes. You know, they kind of, you know, just welcomed me with open arms, and, you know, kind of just made my transition, you know, a lot easier. So, great, 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 great guys. You know, love being around those guys, and I'm, you know, looking forward to, you know, continue to learn them and, you know, being around them for more.
Well, we're going to be talking to those guys when they come here, and one thing I promise you, I will not play them the DJ Ski tape.
Yeah, don't do that right now.
But I might show them the video of you on Showtime at the Apollo dancing.
Oh,
you don't have that.
I think the internet never forgives. I think they have it on there. So
not the Apollo.
Yeah. How old were you when you did that?
Between the age of like 10 and 13, I believe.
Oh, that's, like that. What is that like being like 10 years old and like going on like this massive stage?
It's crazy because, you know, being from New York, you know, Showtime at the Apollo is like something like, you like, wow, that's the Apollo. That's like the Garden, you know, for basketball players. But if you're a dancer or, you know, an entertainer or something, like Showtime at the Apollo is where all the legendary, you know, artists have performed. So like to be able to get the opportunity to perform there is like, It's like mind blowing. So,
what was your dance?
I was definitely super nervous. What did I do? We did like some hip hop dance, like routines and stuff.
What was the song you were dancing to?
It was like a mix.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a mix of songs. So we had a routine that was like that went along with the mix of songs.
Did you see Sandman waiting to sweep people off stage?
I did actually. He didn't get us though. We were pretty good.
As a kid, you got to be nervous. Sandman might come.
You know what? They don't allow Sandman to do it to the kids actually.
Oh, really?
Oh, so you did. All right.
Yeah, you'd
kind of look like a jerk if he did that.
Yeah, that would be kind of bad. We're too young.
Well, Kemba, listen, as I said, massive sigh of relief when you got signed here. I mean, the people in Boston loved it, and they obviously loved your work when, you know, you would play here. We hated being on the other side of it as fans, but we're glad you're here now, and good luck on the new season.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kemba.
All right, fellas.
All right, there you go. Kemba Walker, the straw that stirs the drink.
Showtime at the Apollo appearance. I imagine being 10 years old and seeing Sandman on the side of the stage. And if you knew what Showtime at the Apollo was, thinking that any moment that dude could just come out and ruin your day.
They can't take a 10-year-old off the stage.
He even said that. He goes, well, they told us, I guess because he had anxiety about Sandman coming out. He was like, they told us specifically he doesn't do it to kids.
Yeah.
So don't worry. Don't freak out.
You can't have the Sandman doing it to kids.
No, you can't.
That is not good. But, yes, there you go. Out at Media Day.
And you guys are going to be out at the Bruins 1 today.
Yes.
Today we will be out at the Bruins 1 at Warrior Ice Arena.
And on the docket you have...
We have...
Marchand?
DeBrusque, Chara, Marchand.
Krug. McAvoy.
Yeah, we're playing the hits.
Bergeron. So, for the people who don't know... Why don't you tell them what happened when Marchand showed up the last time you were there? You're sitting there waiting for him.
And he thunders through the door and says,
I don't remember.
What up, bitches?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What up, bitches?
That's right.
That's the first thing.
Right through the door. We hadn't seen him in a year. There he is.
Do me a favor. Can you just ask all of them what their opinion of Joe Haggerty is?
Certainly.
Okay.
I can certainly do that.
Because for some reason...
Why in particular him?
Because I think this last season, there was like some snippiness between like, you know, whenever Joe... I don't see that with like Ty Anderson. But for some reason, and maybe it means that, you know, Joe's doing his job right. I don't know.
Haggerty and Martian had like a fake thing going on.
I don't think... Twitter and... Yeah, they went back and forth a little bit.
See, that was kind of funny. Because, I mean, he like... I forget he wrote some article, Hags, about Marchand. No, he wrote it about another player on the team, and Marchand was offended and went and started calling, like, Haggerty names, severely personal names, and to which Haggerty and him went back and forth.
And Marchand, you can't beat that guy in an insult contest.
Yeah.
Probably because his whole life he's been on the other end of it, so he's learned all the good ones.
Yeah.
And so he's turned it back around.
Yeah, he has developed, probably out of necessity, he has developed a quick wit.
Oh, yeah.
An ability to fight back, a way to see your insecurities and your... in your frailties and to be able to poke them.
Somebody said he called him Ned Flanders at one point. I don't think it was Haggerty. I think that was, what's his name? In the boot, Dale Arnold. He's Ned Flanders, right?
He's been called as much before, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we will be out there, and apparently our conditions are going to be much better this time.
The early scouting report I have is a similar setup to what we had yesterday, Rich.
Yeah.
So unlike a handheld recorder in a locker room to be named later, I believe we're going to have a table and all the equipment we need.
Was that media day where you stepped on the spoke bee?
Oh, no. That was after a game.
And you were in there interviewing them after a game?
I was there with someone asked me to go back there to hang out. So I went back there.
What happens when you step on the spoke bee? Because that's a no-no for people who don't know.
It was when Thornton was on the team, and he was like, and then someone like the equipment guy was like, get off the spoke bee. And then Thornton was like, yeah, it's real bad. And was kind of rolling his eyes. Thornton didn't overly care that I'd stepped on the spoke bee.
I think Thornton's like, whatever. Yeah. I think they use that to get onto people they don't like.
Yeah. I got that. It's like the equipment guy, whoever it was like, get off of that, get off of that.
And I'm like, I don't like this one.
I'm like, what am I doing? And then Thornton's like, yeah, don't get on it.
Right. But some like reporter comes in that they don't like and they'll just rip on him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They use that as the excuse.
I had no idea you weren't supposed to step on it. I have no idea why it was so big in the middle of the effing locker room and you're not supposed to step on it. Like, the players got to step on it all the time. How the hell are you going to get anywhere? Let's put a big thing in the middle of the floor that no one can lay their feet at.
Right. It's like you're walking around the edge of a building to interview these guys.
Exactly. It's like, there's a pit of fire in the middle of the locker room that you're not allowed to step on.
John from Vegas says, ask the Bruins if they've had time to reflect on pucks and paddles and now that they've had time to process it. Remember how he hijacked the entire thing and made it Sarge Sucksapalooza by winning the entire thing?
That's right. He hired a professional ping pong player.
Play with Beetle. It was great.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Beetle, right at the beginning, is like, I got to go home and get the kids. I can only stay for about 45 minutes. This is before we knew any of this was going to happen. Yep. And then by the end of the night, he's like, oh, Jesus.
And they were all so confused. I mean, they were so confused. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And like, I said, hey, I just want to say one thing. Thank you to everyone. And that Sarge sucks. And he held up like a big sign. And like, all the room was like, who's this Sarge?
And then Sarge was like, hey,
let me tell you something, pal.
Didn't affect me at all.
It didn't affect him at all. Is he still calling himself Sarge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mike Sarge Riley, yep.
Because we were debating that the other day.
There was a big, outing.
I know.
At the Loon last night. I was unable to attend, but Nick was there, so he may know.
Nick?
He may have an
Nick
answer.
Nick is an interloper.
I believe Nick was there.
You were there with the Kowloon crew?
Yes, he's an interloper. He ain't down with the crew.
Are you kidding me?
He was there.
I mean, I
was invited. I couldn't go.
I follow Joe Murray on Instagram, and he had a video of him pulling up to the Loon.
Oh, like, did he?
Like, this is what's going down.
See, I thought I was in the circle. Nope. I was not invited. I don't know why.
I don't know why this isn't playing any audio, but...
But I got a text. My official invitation came from Mike Sarge Riley. It began with a text from Sarge.
I was not invited to the Kowloon.
I'm outside the circle now. I used to be in. Bird was invited.
I couldn't have gone anyway, but the...
Bird went too, I think.
Bird, you go?
Everyone just, like, heads out to Saugus like it's nobody's business. They're just like, yeah, I'll go.
Yeah.
It's free Saugus.
It's Golden Road, man. Yeah. All the food you could possibly want.
What time was the event? 6:30? What did it take you guys, 4 days to get out there?
It usually takes me about 45 minutes to get out there.
Oh, yeah, not from Everett. Everett, you're kind of...
No, Everett.
No, where I am, it's 45 minutes. For these two, it's a little easier.
Did I hear they're having professional arm wrestling at Kowloon? Because if they are, that's, like, perfect.
Oh, my God,
that might
be
the most
great,
like, perfect event ever.
It'll be just, like, over the top.
Well, listen, are you going to win a Mack truck? I don't know.
I don't know. You're going to win plenty of duck sauce. That's the embarrassment. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the stack?
One of the greatest rock bands of all time is calling it quits, and we were all robbed. What could have been reality show greatness from an athlete?
We will get to that.
Here are the headlines.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Well, a beer vendor was arrested Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami after using a square reader to charge more than $700 to a fan's credit card during a Dolphins game. This guy's name is Nathan Collier. He faces charges of third-degree grand theft and possession of a skimming device. So according to the arrest, the victim ordered two beers from this guy during Miami's game and gave him his credit card to pay for them. But the police said that Collier used his personal card reader to charge the victim $724. The victim was notified of the charge by his bank a short time later. Police show up. They get this guy, and he's got this personal credit card reader in his pocket at the time. And apparently he had done that to many more people. Have you ever, like, gotten home and checked your balance or whatever and seen that out of nowhere you had some massive charge?
Just strip club.
Okay, well, that happens all the time.
Yeah, and then, but the thing about that is patience, because sometimes they put a hold on your card, and then it will go away in a couple days. But I have never, I've had recently my credit card company call, but it, the smart people do it in, like, little things. Like, they go to, like, a gas station, and then they do something else. So it wasn't out of hand, but no, I've never had a huge one.
I had somebody buying plane tickets to Turkey and a couple other strange places like that. There was one time where my credit card was used, and they were, just like you said, Fred, buying $130 worth of stuff from Walmart here, like $160 from a Walmart, but there were like places all over. They were ordering the stuff, and you know, I had to put a stop to it then. But the worst I ever had was, and this was when I was in college, and I was trying to go online and for Ticketmaster, when you can get tickets online, and I kept, have you ever like been on hold for tickets on Ticketmaster and your screen like freezes up and then it kicks you back and you have to do it all over again?
Yeah.
So I did that about 7 times, and it was for a U2 concert. The tickets weren't cheap. They were like $150 a ticket. So it was like $300. And I was in college. This is like all the money I got. And every time it kicked me back, which was like 7 times, it charged me and it emptied my account.
Gosh. You should have sold them.
No, but I didn't get the tickets.
Really?
I only got the pair that I eventually bought. That's the only one they gave me. So
how did they rectify that?
You know what? It was when I was in college. I was in college, but I was also working at the radio station at the time. And I told Jimmy, a guy we used to work with, about it. And he let me tell the story on the air, because I told it on the air. They got back to me. It became a big deal, because everyone started calling in and saying how they had been ripped off. And it became a big thing. And they're like, oh, all right. And they wouldn't have. I'm telling you, I would have been screwed if it wasn't for that.
Yeah, that's. But I'll tell you, the guy's ingenious. He should have. What the problem was, he only should have done it a couple times. And not for so much money. It's like an office space where they take like 0.001 percent of a cent, and then they and waiting for it to build up over the course of years.
Or in not Office Space, Silicon Valley.
Yes.
Right? Was that the TV show?
Yeah, yeah.
Only one more season left of that show. Love that show. One of my favorites on TV. Fred, something that could have been amazing has come to an end. Ray Lewis, no longer on Dancing with the Stars.
Did he ever talk?
Barely. So I watched the first episode, which I thought was going to be one where you were going to have a lot of Ray Lewis, because they were going to do his background story. But it was like this prepackaged garbage, and it had him like dancing with whoever the woman was, Cheryl Burke. And there wasn't a ton of his personality that they allowed on there. So out of like the 2 times I watched it, there wasn't enough Ray Lewis. But now it looks like he has bailed out, not voted off. I guess the last time he was one of the final 2 people, and it was up for a vote, and instead he is pulling the ripcord. He said, in a game in 2010, I tore a tendon in my foot, and now all of this dancing, all of this on your toes, I'm reliving a problem that I thought I'd never have to live again. I'm having so much fun when it comes to the dancing part, but the heart behind the scenes, it's just been painful. It bothered me a lot. This is a dude that like preaches never give up and stuff on his like Twitter account. Like, this is like his
I love the trip to Life Fantastic.
I guess he does. He goes,
My Tootsie's been bothering me.
I dealt with pain every practice. I pushed through anything. But when he read the MRI to me today, I knew something was wrong. The doctor then recorded telling Lewis, saying, you tore three tendons. It's going to require surgery. The doctor added, you keep dancing on it. It's going to actually rupture. And so that was it. So he is out.
We're sliding in the first.
Your mouth's about to burst. Diarrhea.
Well, I was going to say, that's a rupture.
That's a rupture. That is a rupture. Well, one of the greatest bands of all time has sucked for a while because of the condition, the health condition of a lot of the members. But according to David Lee Roth, he says Van Halen is finished.
Oh, it's a shame.
A few weeks ago, he told a radio station, I'm the face of Van Halen from this point on. Most likely, I'm not sure what's happening with Ed. I guess Ed's just completely gone off the radar. Like, nobody knows what's going on with him. But he's probably not going to answer the bell this time. It's not my place to guess, but we've been in touch. And to that he goes, but you can come to my residency that's going to be in Vegas.
Oh,
and
the
I'm
flamingo.
Wondering. No, that's like an Excalibur thing.
Okay.
Yeah, my dude's got to be playing the Excalibur. So if you want to go see David Lee Roth and you're saying, hey, I wonder how he sounds, just know that they released a live album on their last tour with David Lee Roth. And this is what he chose to be on the album. He's not going to sing it. No, yeah, of course
you
not.
You let Wolfgang take the wheel on that one.
Jeez. Sure.
Remember that whole thing?
Chop, chop, chop.
In fairness, it's only been, you know, 35 years since that album came out. How would you possibly remember the words to the song? All right, Rich, what's coming up?
One of the favorite shows of people everywhere is being renewed. And on top of that, I got some bad news about your boy Sam Darnold, Fred.
Sammy D with the spleen.
The sports app.
Touch I your... can't believe he did that.
Rich. I didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Well, that was fun. I almost puked. Walking back into the studio.
I heard a sound come out from
what
you.
What just happened?
A second ago that I was like, it's the first time this morning. I was like, you all right?
Yep.
That's oh, you neat. See, you've been playing hurt this morning? Is that...
Yeah, I don't feel good.
If you're going to puke, just promise me you do it in front of, like, Marchand.
I'm hoping I don't puke.
At media day, that would be something.
I'd make sure I get on a mic.
Yeah, for sure.
That's for sure.
You have to get some reaction from some players.
Yes, absolutely.
I should say, man, I just can't
run
play
into
the
press conference and start puking.
You just say, I can't work through the pain, guys. I'm sorry. Say that to a bunch of hockey players.
Just go, hey, I'm sick. When's the season start?
Here, shake my hand.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is a bacterial thing. Shake my hand.
Oh, that'll be nice. Well, you know how the NFL has Carrie Underwood and Hank Williams Jr. with the big theme song that they play before Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football? Well, the NHL has got their own band.
Oh, God.
To do their thing, and it wasn't a bad choice.
Do you have the time?
All right.
They got Green Day. Green Day's Fire Ready Aim song is going to be the opening theme for Wednesday Night Hockey.
Was it already a song?
Yeah, it was already a song. It's actually coming up on their upcoming album called The Father of All Mother Effers. And it has not been released yet, but on top of it being the theme song for that, it looks like Green Day is also going to be doing some more things with them. That means they'll be playing in some songs. It's going to be featured in commercials, social media, the Jumbotron. Green Day's one of those bands that you just can't not like. I mean, you know, after all these years, the stuff still holds up.
I just remember my friend in high school made me a mixtape, and it had, like, Green Day's first record on it. And then I went to college, and people had, like, the Dookie record. And yeah. I'm like, Green Day's popular?
Oh,
like,
really?
I had no idea that they're popular.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to, like, the one thing about the, you know, butt place that I grew up is that it had the biggest college radio station in the country. It was this thing called Album 88, and it was 100,000 watts. That's twice as powerful as this station that we're on right now, and it was a college radio station. So they would, like, break bands way before 80 would touch it. So they were playing the Dookie album probably 7 or 8 months before MTV touched it. And I just remember being obsessed with this band when the album came out. I mean, it was, like, it's just good, hooky, thick songs, and you know, it's a fun album that you could put on at a party, and everyone like agreed on it. It was one of the few ones that everyone would like any kind of party you'd put on. This is like the theme song to my senior year in high school. This album was. Yeah. Well, so there you go. They've made a deal with the NHL, and they're going to be all over the place. Fred, someone who's not going to be all over the place unless he's in the same condition you are, that would be Sam Darnold, still not cleared for contact. He's going to resume throwing this week.
It's another year where they're not going to be able to work him in, and it's another wasted year in his career, and it's another contract. It's another year of his contract.
Patriots play the Jets in a couple of weeks again, right? 2-3 weeks?
He's got to be ready by that.
Play him again?
The point is that, I mean, he can't afford to obviously hurt his spleen. I mean, that could make you septic.
Oh, of course not.
But, I mean, they got to make sure he's completely healed.
An enlarged spleen, is that painful?
I've had it. I don't recall it being painful. I do recall that I had to wear a stupid pad over it when I played baseball.
Yeah, you're right. The one thing about that I did learn is that if you end up, if anything happens to it, like if it gets hit or jostled while it's still enlarged, I mean, you could rupture it.
And if you rupture it, then you become septic, which is no fun.
Yeah. So you have to sit and wait for it to shrink back down to its normal size. And on top of that, you feel like crap. I mean, mono's, from everyone I know who's had it, is the worst.
It's the worst.
And you have like zero energy, too.
Yep.
So think about having to ramp that up and get into football playing conditions, too. And I hope his first game back is against the Patriots. That would be a nice welcome back.
It's Sunday night game, 2 weeks from Sunday.
Yeah, nice, easy defense to go up against.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What is going on over? I'm going to get some crap. Somebody's, we'll get to it. What are they at Gillette? Not yet. They're not there. All right. You got one more?
Yes, I do. Stranger Things is returning. It has been renewed for season 4.
Kids are going to be like 44 years old by the... I mean, are they even kids anymore?
Well, that's why I think it was Ty Anderson yesterday. He came out to the Celtics Media Day and told me that he saw the brand new announcement that Stranger Things was coming back. And I'm like, man, that's quick. Like, usually it's a couple years between these deals. And he goes, well, I mean, they're going to be like 90 by the time that they, you know, if they keep doing it every 2 to 3 years, they're going to be like super old. But the last Stranger Things, I think they're supposed to be in 7th grade. They're probably like 13. They're dating now.
Oh.
So it's, I mean, and you can tell their voices have all changed and they've gotten like taller and weirder looking.
Yeah, that can get, there's times where with a show, because you don't assume a show is going to go like 5 years or 8 years, you know, mm-hmm. maybe 5 years. But I always feel bad for the shows that cast like the kids in high school.
Yeah.
Like the first like season, there's kids in high school because you're like, there's going to have to be some like Kirk Cameron in the attic situation going on. Like the whole dynamic of your show is going to completely fall apart.
Well, I mean, look how they ripped through those Harry Potter movies. I mean, you had to make eight or seven movies. And like they started off at probably like 10 years old. And you're thinking to yourself, man, you make one a year. I mean, they're going to be like full grown adults by the time you finish this thing.
Did you hear that Linkletter is making like a film that's going to go 20 years?
Yeah, because he did Boyhood, which was, what, 15 years? It started when he was, I think, 5 years old and went through when he went to college.
I thought it was 7 years, but
maybe it was 7. I loved that movie, by the way.
I'm afraid to watch. I think it would make me sad.
Dude, it will crush you. if you have a boy, it will crush you.
Yeah, so why would I want to see that?
I mean, at the end of it, I was like, all right, man, don't do this to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it started off when he was like, what, like 11?
It was like, I think it was 7. He started off when he was 7. And the cool thing about the movie was that every year, like it started filming in 95 when the kid was actually 7 in the movie. And every year had the music from that actual year as he grew up. And then you just see this kid who's 7 at the beginning and all of a sudden he's, you know, like doing all this crazy stuff and going to college. And there's parties like, oh, man,
yeah.
This is tough to watch.
Yeah, because you're watching it happen like, you know, in 2 hours.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's I don't need to do that to myself. I can feel bad on my own. I don't need a nudge.
Right. Did you say you got choked up at the movie Click when he fast-forwarded through his children's life too fast?
Yes.
Of all the movies to get choked up over, it was an
Adam
Sandler
movie.
Good
movie.
Click?
I thought it was a good movie.
I don't remember anything about Click. I remember seeing it, but...
Yeah.
All I can remember is Jack and Jill was awful, and That's My Boy was great.
Yeah, That's My Boy, Come Further Viewings is pretty good. Just when he's out inside, he's out on the skyscraper outside of a window on a sill, and then they pan out and he's holding, or he takes a beer out of his pocket and opens it up. Because he's always got a beer in his hand.
Yes, he does.
All right, well, Wallach and I are off to Warrior Ice Arena.
Good luck.
Yep. Yeah, thank you.
We will also have a few more Celtics tomorrow. Maybe we'll do, I thought that Marcus Smart was excellent, the man who showed up with a bathrobe. We will talk to him.
Yes, and showed up with one of the worst haircuts I've ever seen in my entire life.
That was all right.
Really?
I just immediately made me think of, like, early 90s. Like the Menace to Society movie.
It's the guy from Menace to Society that couldn't take the crap in jail. That's exactly what it is. All right. We will be back tomorrow. That'll do it for us. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston 98.5, the Sports Hub. Beasley Media Group Stations.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.